chosen to come to be with us today. Appreciate your presence. I know some are vacationing. I realize that some of you are here to introduce a student to Texas State University. And if we can be of any assistance, let us know. We have two of our three elders that are present today, myself and Brother Tom Meadows, the young man down here in the blue coat. And if you have any questions about our work, we would certainly welcome those questions. The congregation began in 1988, actually in the home of Tommy and Jackie Meadows. And it has been my privilege to have been here, I think, 18 years. Time go by quickly as the local evangelist. And I would like to commend to you a very wonderful, loving, kind family of God that meets here and worships here. And if you have a question about our work, we would certainly welcome that. And thank you for being here. And I'd like to thank Alan for leading those wonderful songs about heaven. And thank you for encouraging us, encouraging me with singing words about heaven, because that's what I want to talk about today. What will heaven be like? You know, in 1965, my mom and dad planned our first trip to the state of Colorado. And I had heard about how beautiful it was to visit that state. And there was a lot of anticipation about the trip. In fact, I was going to be able to take a friend along, and he and I started marking off the days on the calendar, and we looked forward with great anticipation to the trip. And finally, the day arose and arrived when we were going to leave, and we got up about 5 in the morning, and most of the time, you know, at 5 in the morning, Mom had to take a stick of dynamite to get me out of bed, but not that morning. And we made the long drive from Dallas, Texas to Trinidad, and then the next day on up to Colorado Springs and spent some time there. And it was as beautiful as I had imagined, the majesty of the mountains. And then some 20 years later, Nancy and I made our first of many family trips to the state of Colorado. And once again, I began to imagine in my mind the memories of the past and what it would be like when we arrived and the things that we would enjoy of God's creation. And there was a great anticipation over the trip, and we began to mark off the days of the calendar, and we couldn't wait until the day arrived that we could leave and go on vacation. And Colorado sort of became our home away from home. One of my favorite places to share with my family, my wife and my two children, are the high mountain lakes, the wonderful sound of a mountain stream, the cool breeze, the cold, crisp mornings, and sometimes the cold, crisp nights when you could just look and see almost every star in the sky. Those are very special moments. And it was again in 85, 20 years later, or about 20 years later, as beautiful as I had imagined. Today I want to talk to you about heaven. And I wonder if we have the same great enthusiasm and anticipation about the home that God has prepared for His people as I did in those times when we would go to the state of Colorado. I can only begin to imagine. God has in His book given us a glimpse of the glories and beauties of heaven. But do we have that same excitement about, as we said, home was Colorado, about going home to the place that God has prepared for His people? Well, I want to tell you why I want to go to heaven and what heaven will be like. First of all, number one, I want to go to heaven because of the things that will not be there. And number one, we find that the Bible tells us that in heaven there will be no fear. Obviously, fear is an emotion given to us by God, and at times is very important. In fact, sometimes it can be even our Redeemer because we are afraid. But the wonderful thing about heaven is that when we arrive there, there will be nothing to be afraid of. There will be no fear of loss or fear or of dreaded disease or fear of the loss of a job or being afraid of losing a loved one or a separation because we lose a loved one. But only peace and security. No fear of harm. No fear of punishment. No fear of separation. No fear of failure. And that's one reason why I want to go to this place called heaven. But number two, we also notice that there will be no regrets and no disappointments. You know, in this life, there are occasions in which we realize that even some of our loved ones will not be there in heaven, because we understand what the Bible plainly teaches. 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in verses 13 and 14 in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And because we understand that, we understand that some, even loved ones, will be lost. There are tears, and there are regrets, and there are disappointments. And sometimes I feel like quitting. But I realize that one day all the struggles will be over. There will be no more regret from the bad choices that I have made. That will all be behind me. And there will be no regret or disappointment over some loved one or some brother in Christ or some friend or neighbor who disappointed me. Or even no regret over the times in which I have disappointed myself. We will only focus upon one thing, the relationship that we enjoy with God, and that fellowship will override all the emotions and the emotional bonds that we enjoy in this life. John says in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and in verse 3, he says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of His Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." Just being in the presence of God. There is another reason why I want to go to heaven, and that is because in heaven there will be no more uncertainties. There are times in this life in which there is the anticipation sometimes, or the worries over tomorrow. How am I going to pay the electric bill? What is going to happen to my friend or my loved one? What are they going to do? And there is the possibility of losing a job. All of these uncertainties sometimes bring fear in our lives. But in heaven, all of that will be behind us. We will have fought the good fight. We will have kept the faith. And the crown will be given. The fight will be over. We will have won all the struggles behind us. That's why I want to go to this place called heaven. I know it's going to be more home than Colorado has ever been, the home away from home. And I know that it is going to be more beautiful than anything that we can even begin to imagine in this world. That's why I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because of the things that will be there. Number one, because of the comfort that we will find in heaven. No more worries, no more spousal abuse, no more sickness, no more rebellious children, no more wars, no more disappointments, no more stress. No longer will I have to worry about Juan and Brandon and Jake in a war in Iraq. It'll all be behind us. And it will be a place of complete and total comfort. John says in Revelation 21, first of all, in verses 3 and 4, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And in the same chapter, down in verse 22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their honor and glory into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A place of security and comfort where there is no more pain, nor sorrow, no more tears. That's why we ought to want to go to heaven. That's why there ought to be this great anticipation and eagerness and counting the days when this life is over and we can spend an eternity with God in this wonderful place of comfort. I want to go to heaven because there's going to be security there. Nothing will enter it that will defile. You know, in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and in verses 19 and 20, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us an important exhortation that I think we need to really remember. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Let me read that again because I think we need to hear it again. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." No longer will I have to worry about theft or dishonesty or someone taking advantage of me or immorality. No longer will I be vexed by this sinful and immoral world, but forever I will be able to enjoy the peace and security of the presence of God. I won't have to sleep with a gun under my pillow because there will be ultimate protection. I'm not suggesting that I do that, but you know what I mean. There will be ultimate protection and security in the presence of God. There shall by no means, John said in Revelation 21:27, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why I want to go to heaven. Because God has prepared for His people a wonderful place of security. And furthermore, it is a place of perfect beauty. We live in a very beautiful planet. This world is extremely beautiful with the oceans and the flowers and the mountains and the trees and all the things that we enjoy. And even the beauty of human beings. You know, to me there is nothing more precious than a child. Sometimes a child that has a tear rolling down the cheeks. Or sometimes when that frown suddenly turns into a smile. All of these things God made for us to enjoy. And indeed we live in a wonderful world. And I become truly amazed at the great creation of God. But there is nothing in this world that can compare to the beauty of heaven. Again, in the Revelation, the 21st chapter, and beginning with verse 18, John says, "The construction of its walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, fourth emerald, fifth sardonyx, sixth sardius, and seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, 11th jacinth, and 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." God understands how we value precious stones and jewels. And thus He uses these to describe the beauty of this place called heaven, the place that He has prepared for His people. "And there will be no need for sun, for in Revelation 22 and verse 5, He says there will be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want to go to heaven because it will be a place that is more beautiful than anything that I have ever witnessed in this world, even in the state of Colorado. I want to go to heaven because of the kind of people that will be there. I don't know about you, but when I get up every morning, I make a habit of going down to the coffee shop and spending 50 cents, sometimes I think a waste of money, to read the daily newspaper. And when I read it, I become rather vexed with how immoral and ugly our world is. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verses 9 and 10, the kind of people that will not be in heaven. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Then back over in Revelation 21. In Revelation 21 and in verse 8. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And again in Revelation, this time the 22nd chapter in verses 14 and 15, notice the contrast. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I want to go there because of the kind of people that won't be there. Well, I've heard some of these celebrities in jest say that heaven will be a boring place because there will be no excitement there. No, to the contrary. The best kind of people that we can possibly imagine will be in heaven. Abraham and David and Timothy and Paul and Mary and Martha. And surely by that time we will have learned that real value in life does not come in material things, but that real value comes in relationships. And forever we will be able to enjoy the fellowship and relationship of God's people, and also not only that, but to forever enjoy the sweet, eternal fellowship with God, our Creator, and His Son, Jesus. That's why I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because of the kind of people that will be there. I want to go to heaven because of the songs of praise that will be found there. You ever thought about the fact that there, when we arrive, we will no longer sing songs of anticipation about that place? We will have arrived. You know, in the Revelation, the 5th chapter, Revelation chapter 5, and in verse 9, Revelation 5, 9, and they sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And in verse 12, there was this loud voice that said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And in verse 13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And we'll sit around forever and just sing praises of God. My father was probably the one most instrumental in my life of introducing me to the appreciation of a hymn. When I was a boy, I remember he would have a Wednesday night Bible class where he would teach us boys how to bring a talk and how to lead a song, how to get the pitch, and taught me how to really appreciate gospel singing. And I'm grateful for that. And since that time, I have enjoyed so many occasions. I can't tell you how many in this very room with special people that are a part of my family, the family of God, just on a Friday night after a gospel meeting, just singing praises to God. And some from other places, San Antonio and Austin and other places, have come to join us, friends of mine, brethren in Christ, and we just enjoy being with each other and singing hymns of praise and encouraging each other with song. I have enjoyed occasions on a Friday night in Montego Bay, Jamaica, in the YWCA, when, as I stated before, the party is all around, but inside the gates of that YWCA are the happiest people in that town, singing praises to God. I look forward to the time when we can do that forever. It'll never end. That's why I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because it is a place of rest. When all the worries and all the struggles will be over. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verses 6 and 7, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Revelation 14:13, John says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. It will be a time of rest for the soul. We will no longer be tired or weary or frail. No more tests, no more uphill journeys, no more mental pain or anguish. We will have passed the test, and we'll just enjoy forever the wonderful rest that God provides for His people." And finally, I want to go to heaven because heaven is eternal. It is far better than any temporary thing that we can have in this life. And there are a number of wonderful things that I enjoy about living. I enjoy my family, just a simple, special relationship with my wife and children and their spouses. I enjoy being with my family. But God says, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." You know, I think it was Scriven that wrote the words, the very last verse of "Amazing Grace." When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days of seeing God's praise than when we first begun. What a great thought to be there forever and ever and ever, enjoying the fellowship of God and His people. That's what heaven will be like. And my frail description of it is just that. Even the glimpses that God gives to us in the Revelation and in His book are just a small glimpse of how wonderful and glorious it will be. And I know sometimes in this life you get tired of all the struggles and tired of all the difficulties, but the one reality is you can't quit. Because if you do, you give up all the possibility that God provides of eternal happiness. You can't quit. As Dee Bowman says, when you miss heaven, if you miss it, you miss it all. If you believe that, but you know and understand that your life isn't right with God, if we can do anything today to help you to prepare for eternity, we certainly would be glad to do that. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song "Selected." Would you come?